Thank you for being here this morning. I want to express my sincere appreciation for each and every one of you. I've had an opportunity in the years past in a prior employment to travel around the country. And last week we had Branford stay with us for the week as spring break, and some of the conversations I had with Branford reminded me again how special this congregation is, how special this group of saints are with regard to the love that we have for one another, but more than anything else, putting Christ first. And that's not always the case, but you're an encouragement to me. I put this lesson together. I will tell you, it started out one thing and it kind of keeps shifting and moving, and you know, it is what it is. It's a lesson for me more than for you. But I think it's lessons that we can all apply with regard to some of the challenges that we face from day to day. You may not know, but the elders are involved in a study on the topic of leadership. And as we began that study, it was interesting. It's a lesson book by Max Dawson. Every one of the elders came away with, you know, who am I to serve as an elder? Am I qualified to it? What is this? Kind of a humbling acknowledgement from all of us, I think, with regard to our own capabilities, our own challenges. We're human. We face challenges day by day, just like each one of you, I'm sure. So this got me thinking and reflecting on where am I at in my own Christian walk? What am I doing? Am I doing everything that I can? So, again, this lesson is directed to me, but I'm hopeful, and I'm going to challenge you with some questions as we go through this, as to where you're at. So, that said, I want each one of us to consider where you're at in your Christian walk. Last year, Andy did a fine job of talking about Romans 12 with regard to our lives are supposed to represent a transformation. And hopefully that's what each one of us is working on. If we are content in where we're at, then maybe that's a time to reflect, to think about where it is that we should be striving forward. And Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul states this: "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that which also has laid hold..." Can't read today. "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and reaching forward for what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And I hope that that's what each one of us is striving to do. And I hope that we don't have an attitude that we think we've arrived because we've been baptized. And I hope we don't get a lackadaisical attitude and forget about where we came from. I came out of Catholicism, and coming out of darkness into the marvelous light that we find in the truth of God's Word, we really need to value that. We need to appreciate what we have. Do we sometimes forget that, again, I think it was brought up in Peter today, that we're sojourners, we're pilgrims, we're just passing through this life. We're looking forward to something much greater in the hereafter. So, with those thoughts, I'm going to ask you to turn to James chapter 1. And this is the passage where I really started this lesson, and then it's kind of morphed into a number of different thoughts. But I promise you it will be shorter than some of my other lessons that I've got long-winded on. James chapter 1, and I'm going to begin with verse 19 and read through 25. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the angry man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I've underlined a couple words in that text that I just, again, I'm going to go through quickly for time's sake, but we're supposed to put aside all filthiness, all that remains of wickedness, and we're supposed to receive the word that's been implanted. So there's some action that each one of us is called to do. It also says in this verse that we're to look intently. That doesn't mean skimming it. That doesn't mean just, you know, reading it quickly without truly digging into the word and digging into our understanding of how that applies to us. We have to really, again, not take the blessings that we have in God's Word for granted. We need to understand what we have and desire to look into it very closely. It is the perfect law, the law of liberty. And we've had evangelism workshops. Those evangelism workshops encourage each of us to be effectual doers. They help us to be effective in when we reach out to our neighbors and our friends and try to share the good news with them. So those are things that we need to, I need to, continually strive for as far as how to reach out and be effective in sharing that good news with those that we have an influence with. Sometimes those are our family members. I've got a confession to make, and I was talking to Opal this morning. I know that it's not uncommon for myself to encourage my children, and sometimes I do that in such a way that it's not very encouraging. It's more corrective, and it's more... my issue that I have to work on, trying to think about what it is that I'm saying, how I'm saying it, how I'm doing it, that I can be an encouragement, not only to my children, but to each one of you as an elder. It's a responsibility that I take seriously. So, that said, I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 1 through 9, and then I'm going to dig into one verse intently. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This passage in review of this, we see that there are again individuals that are being written to that must have been some disharmony, and yet they're being encouraged to come together to help these women who have shared in Paul's struggle in the cause of the gospel. Their harmony, again, is in Christ Jesus, which is what we should be focusing on. And the way that this letter is written and this text is written, it's encouraging. It's not tearing down. It's not ripping them or being critical of either one of them. Obviously, there was some conflict or challenge that they faced. It's not really clear, but there's some disharmony that they're working on. So when we're faced with disharmony or we're faced with differences that we need to work through, how do we deal with those? I think the answer is found in verse 8. And I'm going to include some other translations as I read verse 8 here again. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable or noble, whatever is right or just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute or report, if there is any excellence or virtue, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or meditate on these things. That's probably my shortcoming. It's important for us to not get caught up in the moment, but to always be thinking how we can encourage one another. I'm going to ask you right now to answer five questions as quickly as you can in your mind, not out loud, But I want you to think about these and reflect upon them later if need be. Please answer the following five questions. What five things are you most thankful for today? What are five of your greatest achievements? What are five of your greatest strengths? Who are five people who love you the most? What five things do you want to accomplish spiritually in the next 7 years? Now, if you think about those five questions, they require you to think about that from a positive perspective. They require you to think about that from a perspective that oftentimes is contrary to the way the world thinks. So, again, I challenge you with answering those questions. Now I'm going to ask you to give me a little leeway. I'm going to modify verse 8 a little bit. This is the way I think the world looks at this verse far too often. Modified version of verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is false, whatever is dishonorable, whatever is wrong, whatever is impure, whatever is ugly, whatever is of bad repute, is there any inferiority? Is there anything worthy of condemnation? Dwell on these things. Do you find yourself sometimes doing just that? How does that contrast with the verse that we read, the actual verse, not my modified version? How does that make you feel? Is there something that we can do in our daily walk to encourage our children to dwell on? Not like the modified verse that I just read you. I truly believe that that is what we read in the papers. Some of the people that I work with, just always tearing people down, always just so negative. As Christians, we should be different. We should be encouraging. Not that we tolerate things that are not true, and not that we should allow anything and everything. We need to be true to God's word. It is the law of liberty. Understand it, practice it, and live it. But the world seems to continue to bombard us with this type of thought. So now I'm going to twist the five questions. And maybe these, just maybe, these will come easier to you. Here's five questions. What are five things that stink in your life right now? What are five of your greatest disappointments? What are five of your greatest weaknesses or failures? Who are five people who would want you to fail or to fall flat on your face? What are five things you expect to fail at in the next 7 years? I'm not certain if answering the second set of questions came easier for you or not, but I would ask you to consider, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? I look at the passage in Philippians, and I think it's really a contrast between light and dark. We can either encourage one another, or we can discourage and be part of the darkness that the world seems to be pressuring us into. So we have a choice to make. We need to either partnership with righteousness or with lawlessness. We need to partnership with light or with darkness. What do we focus on? For time's sake, I was going to, three-ring circus. Think about it. What do we focus on? Wherever the spotlight is. And the Shrine Circus is over in St. Paul, I think, this weekend. If you've ever been to the circus, they've got three rings, typically on the floor. And they shine the spotlight on one of those rings. And the audience focuses on the one ring that is lit up. But there's things going on in all of the other rings, or the two other rings that are not lit up, in preparation for the next act. So it's an illustration of where do we need to focus. We need to be focused on the light and not let ourselves be distracted by those things that are happening in the darkness. But it's a challenge and it's a choice. Another illustration that I came across is that of an older Christian was explaining to a missionary that there was a battle going on inside of him. And he related it to a black dog and a white dog fighting. And the missionary asked him, well, what dog wins? And his answer, I thought, was good. He says, it's the one I feed the most. So, again, we have a choice. Are we going to feed the darkness or are we going to feed the light? If Christians are going to succeed, we need to set our minds on and we need to meditate on the things of the Spirit. And if we don't do that, we're going to lose sight of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. In conclusion to this lesson, I'm going to ask you to turn to Hebrews. There's a passage here that we often focus on with regard to attendance. And I'm going to tell you, let's read it first, and then I'll share my thoughts with you. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering,
For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not to forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, that's a passage that oftentimes we refer to, we go to with regard to attendance. And I think there's two perspectives to that passage. And I'm going to tell you as an elder, whether you're here on Sunday or Wednesday or any time the doors are open, it's not about taking attendance. I don't care if you're here. What I really care about is if you're not here and you're not encouraging the fellowship and you're not encouraging me and an opportunity for others to encourage you, why? That's more important question than whether or not you're here or not. It really has to do with where your heart is and whether you're wanting that encouragement and you understand that you have a responsibility to encourage others. We often refer to this congregation as a family, and I believe it is. And I believe that as a family, each one of us have a part to play in the encouragement that we give one another and the opportunities that we demonstrate in serving our God. Together, we're much stronger than being alone. And if we recognize that, and we recognize that we have potential to serve God, you know, if I can get up here and speak to you this morning, I would have never dreamt this even possible when I became a Christian. I learned song leading with 10-year-olds, and so each one of us needs to continue to strive forward, do what we can, grow in our understanding of God's Word, and step out, take a chance. Do something that you haven't done before in an effort to share the good news with others, to grow in your spiritual walk with our Lord and Jesus. This has not really been a lesson of sharing the good news. It's been a lesson for me to challenge myself, to challenge you, to do what you can in your service to God, and don't become complacent. It's important for each one of us to continue to exercise our abilities and strive to serve God to the best of those abilities. That said, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation and you understand that, you know, we are blessed by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that He has offered us redemption, He has offered us salvation. You simply need to believe, you need to repent of your sins, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and walk as has been discussed even this morning. Walk. Move forward in our understanding of Jesus Christ and the blessings that we have in Him. If you're subject to that invitation this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.